In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A voice of one calling in the wilderness. You hear this rich, beautiful bird song and it fills the woods. You look up into the canopy of trees and you're amazed by the sight of the forest, amazed at its beauty, amazed at how many different birds are up there flying and eating and chattering. You're amazed. But the thing is, none of them seems to own that song you just heard. When you hear the song again, you look up, but still none of the birds seems to have stopped long enough to make that song. Perplexed, you sit down on a log, and it's only there through careful observation that you find the singing bird on the ground. You hear a rustle of leaves, and from out behind, from some broken branches on the ground not far from you, a bird just barely emerges. And this bird breaks into that same song. It is the white-throated sparrow. You realize that in looking for that one bird, you've seen so much more of the forest, so many more birds than you would have. The white-throated sparrow has a voice which causes you to stop and watch and see God's creation. The white-throated sparrow has a voice which calls attention to the rest of the woods, not to himself. A voice not unlike that of John the Baptist, who calls our attention to Jesus, not to himself. The gospel writer in our text shows very clearly that John the Baptist came to speak concerning the light. Yet the Jews will come asking him what he has to say concerning himself. And John the Baptist doesn't really have anything to say concerning himself. He is true to his mission and speaks only concerning the light, concerning the Messiah, concerning Jesus. His voice is that which causes us to stop and watch and see the coming one, the Savior of the world. His voice calls attention to Jesus, not to himself. After all, that's why we learn about John the Baptist, to learn about Jesus. John, the gospel writer, says of his purpose, "But these things have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." We don't learn about John the Baptist in order to believe in John the Baptist. We learn about John the Baptist so that we can believe that Jesus is the Christ, so that we can learn this message about how Jesus is the Savior who has been promised. That's why we learn about John the Baptist. And so John, the gospel writer, has a voice which calls our attention to Jesus and not John the Baptist as well. But the Jews are baffled by this. They're baffled by anyone who would have such a following, such a clear voice, and not talk about himself. They're baffled because they came from their leaders expecting that they would have answers concerning who John the Baptist is and what he has to say concerning himself. But John the Baptist will not talk about himself. Every question is thwarted with a no. "I am not the Christ." "Are you Elijah?" "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" "No." Every set of questions from the Jews, John turns it around so that he can proclaim the Messiah. "What then do you have to say concerning yourself? Make straight the way for our Lord." Every inquiry, John takes as an opportunity to point to the Messiah. "Why then do you baptize?" "Because one has taken his stand in your midst whom you do not know." John the Baptist has one purpose, to witness to Jesus the Christ. He is not distracted from this purpose. He is not tripped up in his witness. His voice calls our attention to Jesus, not to himself. A voice not unlike the white-throated sparrow. A voice of one calling in the wilderness. But don't you think that the white-throated sparrow ever gets tired? of having everybody else get the attention? Don't you think that the white-throated sparrow gets tired of hiding in the underbrush, watching the flashy cardinals and blue jays and hawks get all of our attention? Don't you think the white-throated sparrow is ever tempted to light upon a rock, lean back, puff up his chest, sing some jazzy tune, to dance around and hog all of our attention, to cry out and turn attention to himself? Don't you think that John the Baptist was ever tempted to turn attention to himself? Don't you think he got tired of downplaying himself and making sure the Messiah got all the attention? Don't you think he was tempted to talk about himself so that when someone would ask, "Who are you?" he'd jump in and say, "Well, I'm glad you asked. My name is John, son of Zechariah and Elizabeth, a Jew from the land of Judah. And I travel around preaching, and man, let me tell you, it's a tough job. You got to wear camel hair, you got to eat locusts, and the deal is I'm supposed to introduce some Messiah, and I don't even know what he looks like. I mean, I'm guessing by all the pictures I've seen that he's white, long blonde hair, blue eyes, and a beard, but who knows? The pictures could be wrong. It's tough being a preacher. Don't you think John the Baptist was tempted to talk about himself? Because aren't you? Aren't you tempted to turn conversations to yourself? Aren't you tempted to tell everybody about how busy it is being a pastor during Advent and Christmas? Aren't you tempted to talk about how you dealt with a certain sin rather than helping people turn their eyes to Jesus when tempted? Aren't you tempted when leading a Bible study to spend more time talking about your last trip to the Holy Land rather than talking about the Messiah? Aren't you tempted to turn attention to yourself, not to Jesus? We especially, as seminarians, pastors, and professors, are prone to turn our numerous opportunities to speak into opportunities to discuss our favorite subject, ourselves. Which reminds me, while on my vicarage, I took up birdwatching, and, well, it's just that tempting. But if John the Baptist ever succumbed to that temptation to talk about himself, we don't see it. We don't see him complain about how tough it is to be the second Elijah when no one understands that there's a second Elijah. What we see in the Gospel of John is a wonderful example of how to make our witness focused solely on Jesus. What we see in the message of John the Baptist is Jesus. Jesus is coming. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is coming to bring that light to every person so that all might believe and have life in his name. What we see in John the Baptist is Jesus. We see that Jesus is coming in his greatness, in his awe-inspiring greatness, in his righteousness and holiness, and that no one, not John or anyone else, is worthy to loosen his sandals. We see Jesus coming, and we see our own sinfulness, how we don't live up to the expectations of God. We see our pride. We see our failure to focus on Jesus and the important things. We are humbled by the perfection of Jesus. And yet the amazing thing is, what strikes us most is that Jesus continues to come toward us. He comes towards us because his attention is on us. Even while John the Baptist has shown us that we need to turn our attention to Jesus, even while we need to help others turn their attention to Jesus, the attention of Jesus is on us. Even when Jesus talks about himself, he's talking about the salvation he will bring for us. He focuses on us because we fail to focus on him. He focuses on us because he knows our sinfulness. He knows that we need the salvation he can bring. He focuses on us and he says, "I forgive you for focusing on yourselves. I forgive you for not focusing on me. I forgive you for your pride." John the Baptist understood this. Concentrating on himself is not where salvation is at. Concentrating on Jesus, that's where salvation is, because Jesus has our salvation in mind. That's his focus in coming to us. He comes as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He concentrates on us. And so in our ministries, we concentrate on Jesus. We focus on him. We put it all on him. And then we follow in the footsteps of the white-throated sparrow and have a voice which causes others to stop and watch and see the coming one. Then we follow in the footsteps of John the Baptist. And then we have a voice which calls attention to Jesus, not to ourselves. Then we witness to the one who has taken his stand in our midst for us. The one who came into our midst as a baby born in a manger. He came for us. The one who is here in our midst through the word, through baptism, through the Lord's Supper. He is here for us. The one who will come again into our midst in his second advent. He will come again for us. And so we pray. We have sinned. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come and save us. We have failed to focus on you. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, and keep your focus on us. And he will do that. Amen.